It's time now for the WBNJ Unforgettable Radio Theater with your host, Michael Alexander.
This is Mike Alexander welcoming you to the Unforgettable Radio Theater. It will be my pleasure to be your travel guide as we journey back to the golden age of radio to listen to some classic programs of that time. Climb aboard the time portal and take a seat. While you're getting comfortable, I'll tell you where our journey will take us this week. Starting this week and every week thereafter, for the rest of 2023, the shows aired will be to celebrate the birthday of one radio actor. The only exceptions will be special shows, such as Friday the 13th and Halloween. This week, we travel back to 1943 to listen to a program that, in today's vernacular, would be called a dramedy. Then it's on to 1945 for a comedy variety show. These shows are to celebrate the birthday of Lionel Stander. Now, before we start the journey, here's the answer to last week's question about who was the first singer on the Jack Benny program. The answer is Frank Parker. He left the show in 1935 for his own program, The Atlantic Family on Tour. As I expected, no one who responded had the right answer. The time portal is all set to go. Our first stop to celebrate Lionel Stander is Friday, April 23, 1943, to listen to an episode of Mayor of the Town. Born January 11, 1908, Lionel Stander was an actor in radio, film, theater, and television. He was born in the Bronx, New York, to Russian Jewish immigrant parents, the eldest of three children. Stander began his acting career in 1928 in the play Him by E.E. Cummings in the Provincetown Playhouse. Now, with the time portal's radio dial turned back to Friday, April 23rd, 1943, here is the Mayor of the Town episode entitled Mayor Recalls Scenes of Love in Springdale, featuring Lionel Stander and starring Lionel Barrymore as the mayor.
You know, I like rain. Everything's lazy and beautiful. Sunshine and bird songs. A man can sit on his porch and think calm, beautiful thoughts.
Mayor! Oh, Mayor, hurry along now and help me beat these rugs. I've got to get on with the spring cleaning.
Oh, splots. Why didn't I keep my big mouth shut?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The makers of the new Rinso are proud to present The Mayor of the Town, starring Lionel Barrymore and his guest, Lionel Stander. And now, The Mayor of the Town, starring Lionel Barrymore and his guest, Lionel Stander. It's almost dark now in the mayor's house on Maple Street, and the mayor himself, sitting alone before his fire, stretches and chuckles as he thinks about his day.
It's been a good day. Yes, sir, a good day. Started out that way. When I woke up, the warm, friendly smell of breakfast was drifting upstairs, and the blossoms of my cherry tree were tapping against the windows. Lying there, I felt 17, until Marilla's voice bolted upstairs.
Mayor, aren't you ever coming down to breakfast? It's going to be stone cold.
And my years were upon me again as Marilla's voice called me back. I went downstairs, and there was my nephew, 17 and bubbling over.
Morning, Marilly.
Morning, son.
Better eat your breakfast fast. You're going to be late for school.
What's the matter, Marilly? Did you get out on the wrong side of the bed?
What side of the bed I got out on is my own business.
She's carrying the torch for J. Morton Smith. He took Abigail Peters to the movies last night.
I haven't the slightest interest in the activities of J. Morton Smith. He's a forger and a wolf.
Be careful how I use both those words, Marilly.
Who's that? Can you see, Marilly?
Oh, it's that Terrence Jones man who just moved in on time. His backyard joins up with yours.
Well, let him in. Let him in before he knocks the door down.
Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning, Pigeon. Is the mayor in the chateau?
Come in, Mr. Jones.
Good morning, Mayor. Hi, Sonny.
Morning.
Mayor, I thought it was time we got together. After all, we are sort of neighbors. And I think we're kindred souls, too. You planted the very same things in your victory garden I didn't mind.
The mayor's no kindred soul of any pool hall owner.
Madam, please, a billiard parlor. And a highly respected one. You could come and put a few balls around yourself and be as safe as in church.
Huh.
How about it? I'll give you a game on the house.
Are you proposing that I would go...
Proposing? Don't be so previous.
Mayor! Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Sorry, Mayor, but that blister is so uppity she drives me nuts.
I know just what you mean.
Mayor, I wanted to ask you, man to man, about your Brussels sprouts. I've tried fertilizer, phosphate, and a rabbit's foot, and nothing comes up. I look at your Brussels sprouts over the back fence, and it hurts me the way they come up.
Well, Mr. Jones...
Just call me Clarence. To you, it's all right. I don't take it from the boys. It's Mr. Jones when I'm at the business, you understand. Man's got to keep his social integrity. But over my back fence, I'd like to think it was Clarence between you and me, man.
All right, then, Clarence. Why don't you let me stop by your place tonight after dinner and have a look at those sprouts? I'll have more time.
Mayor, it's getting late.
Well, I'll be running along. See you, say soir, Mayor.
Huh? Say soir? Oh, yeah, sure. This evening.
Goodbye, sonny. Toodaloo, Toots.
My name is Miss Appleton, Mr. Jones.
Okay, Miss Apples.
Appleton, Mr. Jones.
What's a syllable between friends, Pigeon? You don't want to make me feel uncomfortable in your presence, do you? Say, there's a little shindig over in Crescent City tonight. You wouldn't care to go over and shake a wing with me, would you?
I'm going to a ladies' aid meeting.
I'm going to a ladies' aid meeting. How thrilling. All right, go ahead. Throw away your middle age. See if that ever gets your husband. Go ahead and waste those come-hither eyes. Well, so long, everybody.
Marilli, you're getting positively devastated.
Yeah, you and those come-hither eyes.
What are come-hither eyes? Are they nice?
Well, I don't know if they're nice, but they're very nice to have. Come on, Jerry, time's a-wasting. I'll tell Jay Morton there are other suitors knocking at our kitchen door while he's out with Abigail. Maybe that'll bring him back, Marilli.
I'm through with men. The sooner everyone in this house understands that, the sooner we'll get back to normal. Now I'm going to do my dishes.
Mayor, I'd like to talk something over with you a minute. Kind of man to man.
Hmm?
I think. That is, well, of course, I am young, but I could quit school and go to work. Naturally, I haven't asked her yet, but every time I see her, I just... Well, and some of the kids are earning pretty good money over at Crescent City, and...
What in blazes are you talking about?
Why, Sharon. I want to marry her.
Oh, well now, son, but this is almost surprising.
Yes, sir. It was kind of a shock to me, too, especially when I couldn't eat my dessert last night. It's funny how love goes to your stomach, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I remember when I was 17, I fell in love with my school teacher and stayed in love with her all summer, too.
Oh, but this is different, sir. This will last forever, I can tell. After all, I am old for my age, and Sharon's young for 23, and we kind of meet in between there someplace.
I know just how he felt. That little flutter you get inside when you talk about that certain lady. The way the bottom drops out of everything when you see her. The world's a wonderful place when you're 17. As Jerry and I started out, we were joined by young Timmy Robertson, who was one of our next-door neighbors on his way to school. Ann and I always thought it'd be fun to have a son his age. It would be, too, if you were a walking encyclopedia.
Where does a flower come from?
A seed that's planted in the earth, Jimmy.
Where does the seed come from?
Go from other flowers.
Where does the other flowers come from?
Other seeds.
Where did they come from?
God put them there.
Where's God?
In heaven, Jimmy.
Did he come down to leave the seed?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
You're the mayor.
Well, that doesn't mean I know everything.
Where did God get the seed?
Here's your corner, Timmy. Goodbye, son. I'll see you later. We'll have to continue this talk some other time.
Where did God get the seed, Mayor?
Goodbye.
Come on, Jerry. Say, that boy has a one-track mind. He's going to be a politician. Yes, it's been a good day. I kept seeing myself over and over in those kids. But what man doesn't see himself in every real boy? And then at noon I performed a wedding, and I saw myself again, young and in love and full of life.
We'll never forget it, sir.
Oh, no.
I dare say you won't. Well, let's go out and have lunch someplace. Wedding always calls for celebration.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
I wouldn't miss it for the world. I'm going to tell you a secret. You know why I wanted to be the first one to take you out now that you're Mr. and Mrs. Brown? It was because all the time we were standing there, it was as though I were looking back through time into a mirror.
Were you married during the war, too?
Yes. And I had to leave Anne the day after we were married, too. My, how things do repeat themselves. We sang till we meet again. And you sing, I Don't Want to Walk Without You. The words and the tune are a little different, but they both mean the same thing. I'll be here waiting when you come back.
I'll be here waiting when you come back. I guess that just about says everything, doesn't it?
It says all you need to say to me.
Did your wife smile when she saw you off there?
Oh, you bet she did.
It's hard, isn't it? Don't you want to cry?
Oh, now, darling.
No tears. Just remember that from now on, you and Bud are a family. Wherever he goes, and when he comes back, it'll be to you. Well, now that's something to be happy about.
You're right, Mayor. It's something to be very happy about.
Yeah, looking at those two, I saw myself and Anne and took her into my heart because of that. I left the cafe and then went home to pick up some papers I'd forgotten. I found Marilla in the laundry in the basement with, of all people, Clarence Jones, who was wringing out clothes. Clarence Jones sparking Marilla. That was hard to believe. But when a man helps out with the laundry, that begins to look serious. I went upstairs for my papers and just then... Hello? Yes, Sharon. What? Which hospital? All right, it'll be right over. And once more I saw myself, pacing up and down a hospital waiting room with fear and hope in my heart. I saw myself walking for hours with a box of cigars clutched in my hands, holding on for dear life. Put down that box of cigars.
Oh, I forgot I had them. Why don't they come out and tell us something? She's been in there hours.
Oh, it's only been an hour and a half. Not quite that long. Sit down, read a magazine.
Read? At a time like this? When I'm almost a father?
Well, sure. You want your child to have a learned father, don't you?
Mayor, there's a time and place for everything, and this isn't it.
Oh, to watch you, anyone think this was the first baby that was ever born. You know the statistics? You realize how many babies are born a day in all parts of the world?
Yeah, but not to me. I don't think I can stand much more of this.
Ah, you'll pull through.
No, it's very easy for you to be calm. But I'd just like to have seen you when your daughter was born. How was it?
Just about the same as you, I guess.
I remember I fainted when they came in and said it was a girl. Passed out stone cold. The trick of being a father is just to be calm and concentrate on it.
I'm cool, calm, and collected. I'm cool, calm, and collected. I'm cool, calm, and going nuts.
Uh-oh. Shut up. Just relax like I am. There's nothing to this. It's all just sit back and light your cigarette. And...
It's a girl, Mr. Scott, a 7-pound girl.
Oh, gee.
Mr. Scott, a doctor, oh, doctor, come quick. They both fainted.
After all, maybe I was a little more excited than I realized. Baby may be an everyday affair, but I'll never convince myself of it. I remember how Anne used to sit rocking Margaret, and how in no time at all, practically, she was off to boarding school. A house is always a little empty when a baby grows up. Well, when I left the hospital, I felt as though I had been very close to Anne. Home, I found Jay Morton sitting on the curb, the picture of melancholy.
Hello, Mayor.
What in the name of heaven are you doing sitting outside my kitchen door?
I'm on a sit-down strike. I'm going to sit right here until Marilli makes up with me.
You can sit there until doomsday for all of me.
Is that a nice way to talk, love?
Did you try the caveman stuff as I told you to?
Yeah, but you misled me, Mayor. She chased me out of the kitchen with a broom.
Oh, bungled it somewhere. Well, go on home. I don't want you to sit here making a fool of yourself.
Oh, leave him alone. He'll go away when the rains come.
Well, I'm going in.
Oh, death. Oh, disaster.
Oh, splat.
Hello, man.
Hello, Clarence. What are you doing here?
Kitchen cleaning.
Oh, is that so? How are you doing?
Well, so far I've had a piece of pie, 2 pieces of cake, and 6 cookies.
Really? Don't you know there's a war on?
Well, you can't just leave him sitting there looking hungry.
I wasn't looking hungry. I was looking wistful. That was my heart you saw in my eyes. Frankly, you swept me off my feet in this apple side.
Apple ton.
Ton, schmun, it's the sediment that counts.
Oh, I'll go along with you now.
Well, one suitor on the curb and one in the kitchen. Marilla, you're developing into a dangerous woman. Take it all back. There goes Jay Morton down the street with Abigail Peters.
What? Well, doesn't that just go to show you? You can't trust a man.
Never mind, Pigeon. You still have me. I'm the bird in the hand that's weighed 2 on the clay.
Who's that? Hello?
Hello? May I come in?
Sure. Come in.
Terry Robertson, look at your hands.
They're dirty, aren't they? Mayor, could I see you a moment, please?
Why, of course, Terry, of course. Come on in the library. And once more, during this strange day of recurring images, I looked through a window at the past. The little neighbor girl, Terry, stood there by my chair, and I saw my own daughter, Margaret. 15 again and missing her mother. Very.
Well, it's Jerry. He says I'm a tomboy. He says I'll never get a husband.
Now you tell him I said you would.
Oh, but that isn't it. It's Jerry I want for my husband someday.
Did you tell him that?
Uh-huh. He said I was a baby. He said he was going to marry Sharon.
Oh, dear. Terry, listen. Jerry's 17. You know what's wrong with him? It's practically every male goes through the same thing before he grows up. Liking an older woman. I don't feel badly about it. It isn't going to last any longer than the spring.
But is he ever going to like me?
Well, Terry, you stop chewing your fingernails and letting out war whoops and concentrate on being grown up. And don't try chasing him. Let nature take its course.
Can't I prod it a little?
No, sir.
Hello, Mayor. Hi, Squirt. Your father's calling you.
All right, Jerry. Thank you very much. Good night, Mayor.
Good night, Jerry.
Say, what's eating her? She's sick?
A little, son, a little. But she'll get better before she gets worse. Jerry's gone up to get ready for dinner now. I've been sitting in here in front of the fire, dreaming a little and waiting for Judge Williams. A few minutes ago, Marilla came in.
Shall I turn on the light?
If you like. Clarence gone?
Yes, he went to work. He's coming back about 9 to get me.
Good, good. You know, Marilla, this has been the strangest day. All through it, I've been seeing myself over and over. And the funny part of it is, I'm always in love. The spring is full of people in love today. Kids and young folks and old. Even you.
Oh, feathers.
Seems to me that all day I felt so close to him. As though she was very close. Been humming that song all day she used to sing. I don't know why exactly.
Don't you, Mayor? Don't you know what today is?
Sure, Wednesday.
It's something a little more than Wednesday.
Yes?
You have forgotten, haven't you? Your wife always said you never could remember the date. It's your wedding anniversary.
Ah, of course it is. Of course. Listen, as a matter of fact, I knew it all the time. Yeah, I was just letting you have a little fun there. I knew it all the time.
Of course you did.
Thank you, really. Thank you very much. So there was a pattern and an underlying meaning to the whole day. There was Anne all the way through it. Yes, sir? And me in love with her. There were the two things Anne and I loved most, children and spring. I'm glad the judge is coming over tonight, though. Too much nostalgia isn't good for anyone. I could stand a little vinegar to mix with all that, honey.
What are you doing in here? Talking to yourself? What's this about vinegar?
That's your personality, Judge.
Huh?
Didn't you know?
You can't pick on me tonight. I'm too happy. Oh, Mayor, there's a new school teacher over at the high school. Very nice. I'm taking a little picture later. Of course, a little younger than I am, but we're over that.
Now, Scott.
Oh, the trouble with you is you haven't got a sympathetic ear. You have no heart for people in love.
I not only have a heart, I have a remedy. Marilla? Oh, Marilla, get out the sulfur and molasses.
I guess that almost gives our secret away, but I still want you to hear more about it from our Marilla, Miss Agnes Moorhead.
Now, Mayor. Excuse me. Mr. Barrymore, we of the cast of the Mayor of the Town want to give you our best wishes on your 65th birthday. We're especially pleased your birthday falls exactly on our broadcasting day, for we'd like all of our listening audience to join in our celebration. Springdale and its people are very real to us and very near to our hearts. But nearer to us is the one who represents it all, our dear friend, Mr. Barrymore. So, Mr. B., we offer you our thanks for the many pleasant hours we've had with you and wish you many happy returns of the day.
Thank you.
thank you, kids. Thank you very much. Thank you, Agnes.
The usher has just crossed our stage with a very lovely birthday cake and is now being placed in front of Mr. Barrymore on his broadcasting table. It has 6 candles in one row and 5 in another, signifying 65 years. And now we have a little surprise for Mr. Barrymore and for you, the radio audience. Here to pay his respects to Mr. Barrymore is another very famous person. President of the Screen Actors Guild, a motion picture producer, now making a film, Johnny Come Lately. And besides, he's this year's Academy Award winner. Well, you've guessed who it is, I'm sure. Jimmy Cagney!
Thank you, Harlow. And Mr. Mayor, many happy returns of the day.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you.
We know you don't like speeches, but we can't pass up an occasion like this. But we in the show business realize that not only is this the anniversary of your birth, but also the 50th anniversary of your first appearance on any stage. Because, friends, 50 years ago today, one of the most loved actors of stage, screen, and radio made his debut in Kansas City, appearing in The Rivals with his grandmother, the great actress Mrs. John Drew. The public has seen how rich the 5 decades have been in brilliant performances, and we behind the curtain know at first hand the skill, the enthusiasm, the strength, and the warm, deep friendliness Lionel Barrymore has put and still puts into every day of his life as an actor and showman. He has won the admiration of all actors and of millions who have been his audiences. Lionel, may I, as a representative of the Actors Fraternity, the Screen Actors Guild, and for myself personally, extend to you congratulations from us, your brother actors. And I know I speak the sentiments of millions of your friends and listeners in. Good night, Lionel.
Thank you. Jimmy, that was darn sweet of you. Thanks, thanks. Good night.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear my love. Happy birthday to you.
Here's today's newspaper headline, American Flyers Executed by Japs. And we're mad, mad clean through now, and there's grim determination in the heart of every one of us. We'll work harder, fight harder, do the job we have to do harder. Now, for you ladies, one of the most important of those jobs is to save waste kitchen fats. You know it must be done, for you realize that we must send more and more ammunition to our fighting men. Yes, those homely meat drippings make explosives. So make this your answer to today's headline. Save every single drop of waste kitchen fats or greases. Strain all waste fats into any clean, smooth-edged can. When the can is full, sell it to your butcher. And within 21 days, it'll be in a munitions plant carrying your answer to Tokyo. Be sure to be with us again next week when Miss Jane Withers and Mr. Charles Ruggles join in the cast of The Mayor of the Town, starring Lionel Barrymore. Mr. Barrymore appears through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. The part of Clarence tonight was played by Lionel Stander, and Terry was played by Miss Diana Lynn, currently appearing in the Paramount picture Miracle of Morgan's Creek. Our script was written by Gene Holloway. This is Harlow Wilcox, and wishing you all a very pleasant good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Stander's distinctive raspy voice, tough guy demeanor, and talent for accents made him a popular radio actor. In 1932, Stander landed his first credited film role in the Warner Vitaphone short feature In the Dough with Fatty Arbuckle and Shemp Howard. He made several other shorts. In 1935, he moved to Hollywood and signed a contract with Columbia Pictures. Stander was in a string of films over the next 3 years, appearing notably in Frank Capra's Mr. Deeds Goes to Town in 1936 with Gary Cooper, Meet Nero Wolfe in 1936, playing Archie Goodwin, The League of Frightened Men in 1937, and A Star is Born in 1937 with Janet Gaynor and Frederick March. You're listening to the Unforgettable Radio Theater. Our trip back to the golden age of radio will continue after this.